Hey, what's up? Hello. Welcome to Sounds Fake But Okay, a podcast where an arrow ace girl. I'm Sarah. That's me.
And a bi-demisexual girl. That's me, Kayla.
Talk about all things to do with love, relationships, sexuality, and pretty much anything else we just don't understand.
On today's episode, dating later in life.
Sounds fake, but okay. Why did my voice crack when I said fake? Sounds fake.
Catches up to us all.
Welcome back to the pod.
I need to confront one of you.
Which one?
I don't. Here's the thing: is I don't know.
Unbelievable.
Today, I was walking to the mall, and I said, "Oh, I'm passing."
Normal 2023 activity. Yeah, walking to the mall. Everyone does that these days.
Yeah, and I was like, "I'm passing my PO box." On the way, I'll stop in. It's been who knows how long. So I did. And first of all, there was a letter from who I can only assume is a cult. In it was just like this little card that was like, you've been chosen, with like a QR code and some numbers on it. And it was just this like Instagram for this place that was like, how many people does it take to change the world? Like, only DM us if you've gotten our mail. Like, we'll reach out to you. And I was like, it's incredibly
cryptic. Why do you have my address?
I know, because I was like, okay, to get my address, like the PO box, you would have had to like, either you found the podcast first or found, even weirder, found me first and then somehow got, anyway, I was like, what? So that was weird enough. And then the post office lady was like, you have a package. And I was like, this is the most exciting day of my life. Except I got the package and I was like, this seems to be from a sex toy company, which I was like, okay. Like, I know like a lot of sex toy companies do like ads on like YouTube and podcasts, but I was like, I feel like we're a bit of an odd choice.
Yeah.
So I opened the package and on it, it was like, oh, thank you for giving this like sex toy a new home. Like,
a second life.
This, like, it's been washed, but you should wash it again. Like, it's this sex toy is like 6 to 12 months
it's
old.
It's been washed, but like, you should wash it again.
So, like, clearly they're saying, like, here's someone's used sex toy that's for you now. And I was like, what is this? Like, what a terrible company idea. So then I cracked it open a little bit and there was a ton of glitter inside. So I was like, I see, it is one of the male pranks. And luckily, I was outside, so I just stood over a trash can and dumped all the glitter in it. And I only got a little bit of glitter on me, and I don't think any of it made home with me. Wow. Made it home with me. So you didn't get me, bitch. And then also inside was a little, like, rubbery, tiny, like, penis toy with, like, little eyes on it.
As all penises do. And yeah. That's my understanding.
Yeah. Every penis I've seen has eyes. I just, like, I'm not mad. I'm just, like, confused because I feel like it's just an odd choice.
Also, the little penis had a suction cup on it. So, like, it is, by definition.
You could use it.
How squishy is it?
Very. It's like.
So it's like a tiny, you know, like the little, flaccid sex toy.
You know, like, the little, like, squishy animals that people, yeah, like, stick to their desks, yeah, or whatever and, like, just poke around? It's like that.
Yeah.
Kind of, like, material.
Probably not a very effective sex toy.
It's just very small. It's, like, it's, well, not if much
it's
better.
If it's both small and very squishy?
Yeah.
I guess you could just, you could find another sexual use for it. It's, yeah, not, like, a traditional dildo use.
I'm just thinking, like, as a dildo, I think your fingers would be more effective.
Yeah.
So I don't see much point. But anyway, I was, like, I just feel like it's the sexual nature was just like an odd choice.
If it was you, show yourself.
So I just want to understand the thought process. Like, I'm not like mad, but I'm also like, if this wasn't from Alyssa, like, was I hate crimed? Like,
your mother's not mad. She's just confused.
I have really bad dry cough at night. I'm just so confused. So Sarah's going to go to her PO box soon and see if she's received similar gifts. But I'm just so confused.
It's probably going to be a couple days because by the time I get home from work, it's usually closed.
Yeah. But also, like, on the thing, it was like, haha, you've been pranked. Like, go to this URL to see if, like, your pranker left a message. And I was not left a message.
Is it the same cult?
No, that's interesting. I didn't look at the postmarks of either of them, so I don't know if they came around the same time. But anyway.
I can't believe you would. You always look at the postmarks.
Because I know, but I was like, I was out in the world when I was opening them. I was like, oh, I'm just going to open these in front of the post office so I can put them in my bag and like continue on my way. So I didn't like save the packaging, which is my mistake.
Foolish.
I know.
Anyway.
So yeah, that's what's going on with me.
Great. Do we have any housekeeping aside from who sent Kayla the little tiny
penis? I guess not.
All right. Kayla, what are we talking about this week?
This week, we're talking about dating when you are, as Sarah put it, over the hill.
Over the hill. No, okay, before this, Kayla was trying to figure out what to say at the, like, pre-theme song short bit. Yeah. And she was like, if I say old people, people are going to come for me.
I was like, I don't want to call someone old when they're just in their 50s.
Yeah, because like, Kayla's not good at judging what old is. She'll be like, that person's 33. They're so old.
I mean, it depends on the day, you know? But yeah. And Sarah was like, what about over the hill? Yeah. No. Anyway.
But yeah, we're talking about dating as a more mature adult.
And, like, we're talking about it in theory, I think. Because, like, obviously.
I'm actually a 60-year-old woman who...
I could believe that.
My late husband told me to move on after his death. And so I am back out in the dating scene. I met a guy at the Polka Club. And then I also met someone at my bowling league.
Oh, love triangle.
Well, who said it's trying? We're polyamorous.
Oh, okay. Even better.
So this podcast is actually about my journey.
Interesting. Okay. I can't wait for us to be podcasting in our 60s and for that to happen to you.
I hope I'm not in a polka club. You know what? If I'm in a polka club, I hope it makes me happy.
I hope you are in a polka club, personally.
I don't know specifically about a polka club. One time I was at a funeral where they were playing exclusively polka music because the person who died really liked polka music. And I'm like,
sure,
fuck it up, bro.
Yeah. But for real, we're just talking about it in theory because neither of us know what we're talking about.
Yeah, we're just talking about the cultural understanding of it and the cultural phenomenon. Yeah. So this came to my mind because what recently premiered here in the good old United of States, but The Golden Bachelor.
The Golden Bachelor.
Have I watched it? No.
Has I watched it?
Yes.
Yes.
And has she sent me a voice memo about it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know what it was that like made me so want to watch this because I think I've only ever watched like one full season of The Bachelor.
Yeah.
When we were in college.
We did a season of The Bachelor and we did a season of Bachelor in Paradise and then we stopped.
I did not do Paradise. I was out of the house by then.
No, you weren't.
I was. I was just looking at a transcript from the podcast when you were telling me about it and I was in Connecticut. I was not in the house at the time.
Ew, David.
It was when you were taking summer classes.
Ew, David.
Anyway, but I don't know what it was. I think part of it is that like a lot of TV I really like was coming back all at once. So I was like, might as well just fucking add this to the list. Mm-hmm. And I was just very intrigued at the concept. So I was like, okay.
So if you don't know what it is, we've got The Bachelor competition dating show. You have a guy and you give him like 24 women and he's got to pick one at the end.
Yeah, it's a wild concept.
But The Golden Bachelor is with, like, the bachelor this year is this guy named Jerry, and he's 72. Mm-hmm. And usually it's, like, 20-somethings. But yeah. They said, no, we want a golden bachelor of this guy who's in his 70s. And then all the women will be 60s, 70s, you know, same age range. Because it would be weird if they were like, this is the golden bachelor. Here are a bunch of 25-year-olds.
I was worried at first when I heard about it. I was like, please don't make this that. And yeah, it wasn't. So
it wasn't. But this is the first time they've ever done it with, like, an older bachelor. And I honestly think it's a very good idea. Like, especially for a franchise which is very popular but has not done a whole lot of reinventing of itself.
No. And there's so much competition now. Like, yeah. I don't know that a lot of... To me, it almost feels like The Bachelor is more for, like, millennials and mm-hmm. Your Love is Blind or, like... The island one or whatever is like more Gen Z. So I feel like they do need to do this to stay relevant.
Yeah. Well, because also the innovation that has happened in the Bachelor franchise has happened in the offshoot shows. It has happened in Bachelor in Paradise. You know, like the actual Bachelor show has stayed pretty consistent in terms
for of like
what it
20
is.
Years.
Yeah.
It's like an old show.
And there are like big fans and like crazy followings and whole podcasts just breaking down all the tea.
Yeah.
But I think this is a very smart move.
Yeah.
Just from a business standpoint and an interesting TV standpoint.
Yeah. I don't quite know what I was expecting going in. I think I was maybe expecting for it to be like a bit cringy.
Mm.
I don't quite know, but it was incredibly wholesome and like incredibly engaging. Like, I do feel the need to watch it every week. Mm-hmm. But it started off the Bachelor Gary, who actually one of my roommates, huh? Jerry?
Yeah.
Gary. Gary.
Is it pronounced Gary?
It's Gary. It's spelled
so stupid.
Why is
it spelled like that?
It's awful. I had this conversation while watching.
It's spelled
G-E-R-R-Y,
which is a bad way to spell Jerry to begin with.
No, his name is Gary.
His name is Gary? Why did his parents do that to him?
They started off the episode, like, introducing him. And one of my roommates has family members that, like, live on the same lake as him. So they, like, kind of know him. So I was like, T. But he's just, like, this little guy from Indiana. And him and his wife had this dream of, like, retiring and getting this house on a lake. And then they got the house. And then, like, I think a year or two later, she had, like, a liver or a bladder infection. And she died. And he's, like, sobbing, telling this story. And he has these, like, lovely, like, grown-up daughters and grandkids. And it's just, like, they were so supportive of him. Like, yeah, like, you're doing this not to replace mom, but, like, you know, to, like, find a new whatever. And he was just, like, so sweet. He's just, like, a wholesome little Midwestern guy.
He's
like
from Indiana.
I was not not expecting. I guess maybe I was expecting, like, a sleazy, old, creepy man. Mm-hmm. But he was, like, so, so sweet. And then, so far, the women are very sweet. There's, like, a good mix of, like, ladies who are still very, like, sexy, have had work done, like, we're wearing tight dresses, we're like in it, and then like a good amount of just like wholesome women, which I feel like, I don't know, I feel like in the younger version all of them are trying to be like super sexy.
Yeah, for the younger ones, it's a lot of them, it's not actually about finding love, it's about becoming famous. It's about becoming an influencer in this certain like micro space. But just, like, even, like, looking at the pictures of, like, all these women, like, there's a lot more variety in just, like, the formal dresses they're wearing compared to the young girlies. Because, I mean, they're not all exactly from this. They're not, like, all exactly the same age. Ooh, that woman's just wearing, like, a jumpsuit that looks like a formal tracksuit.
Yeah, I think she was, like, I saw something about her. She was on some, like, sports team.
Wow. But, like, There's this South Asian woman who's wearing a sari, and like it's just like it's cool, and like it's less homogenous.
Yeah, it did seem like there was more diversity in a lot of different ways among these contestants than in your average season of The Bachelor.
Yeah,
but like so far, at least just one episode in, all the ladies were like very sweet. We'll see if they get like nasty like the regular seasons of The Bachelor. Everyone starts like fighting and screaming and crying. One interesting thing was there was already a lot of kissing on the lips.
Really?
Which, like, I feel like on average Bachelor seasons, it's, like, a big deal, like, who you're kissing.
Mm-hmm.
But there was, like, just a lot of on-the-lips kissing, which I chalked up to a generational difference. Because I feel like for older people, they just be kissing. Like, I feel like family kissing used to be a lot more common.
Yeah.
Or just, like, a casual kiss like on the lips. Just,
like, a casual little chaste little kiss.
It's, like, a casual, like, goodbye, you know, to, like, a friend or something. I feel like used to be a lot more common. So that was interesting. And in the preview for the next, like, the whole season at the end of the episode, there was, like, a lot. Gary was kissing on everyone.
Interesting.
I was like, Gary, I don't know about, like, that as a strategy, but go off. But anyway, it was way more wholesome than I was expecting. It was very sweet.
Marina has 3 master's degrees. I'm looking at the all of the contestants. It's interesting. Yeah. It's clearly the minimum age for the women is 60, and a lot of them are right at 60 or a little bit above. And then there's definitely your handful who are like 70, mid-70s. It looks like the oldest ones are 75.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Also just interesting that, like, we've said this many times in this podcast, but, like, once you're older, the age difference makes less of...
The older you get, the less... Yeah. The older you get, the less an age difference. Because it's not, I feel like, always so much the age difference as, like, the stage of life or, like, the maturity.
Maturity difference, yeah.
But I think once you get into your 60s and 70s, it's, like, I think you're largely in the same life stage having the same... Yeah. Very similar life,
like,
experiences.
Like, my instinct was like, oh, the difference between a 60-year-old and a 72-year-old is, like, really big. But then I was like, is it at that point?
No. I feel like no. Like, I feel like you're probably going through a lot of the same things.
Part of me is like, well, one of you might die a lot before the other. And you know what? It might be the fucking younger one. Like, there are no rules.
It's true. I feel like, yeah, the only major difference to me between, like, a 60-year-old and a 17-year-old, 72-year-old is, like, health issues. Yeah. Probably.
Yeah.
But I feel like, maturity-wise, probably the same.
Yeah. Anyway, we're not talking about The Bachelor. Although I'm sure maybe later we'll talk about it once more of it has happened.
Who's to say? Didn't care for our last Bachelor episodes because none of you like The Bachelor. So
they're so interesting.
You guys have to try it. I'm sorry.
Anyway, not about The Bachelor. It was just spurred by The Bachelor. What we're talking about is dating when you're older.
When you're like in your
60s, 70s. Plus. And I think this can also, depending on the context, it can also apply to people in their 50s and maybe even a little bit younger if you've had like a spouse that has died. Or you've gotten divorced.
I feel like we're specifically talking about dating after already being married.
Right.
Not dating, like, continuously.
Right. I mean, like, I have an aunt who is she 50?
I don't know.
She got married this year. Like,
yeah.
Her first marriage. And, like, I'm sure that experience is... much different than dating when you're 30. But I think you have a different outlook on it if it is your first marriage. Yeah. for some reason, marriage is such like a big hump to get over. Like you could have been with a partner for 10, 15 years, but if you weren't married, it always feels different to society.
It's viewed different socially.
Yeah. But we're mostly just talking about people who have a spouse who dies or they get divorced and they feel the urge or the need to find someone else.
Yeah.
When I was young and not even that young, I like genuinely thought that like you couldn't be in love with more than one person in your whole life.
I was reading a transcript of an old episode where you were telling me this, like, I was like, what are you saying?
I really thought that. I don't know.
Yeah.
and so, like, if you'd asked young me about this, I would be like, well, what?
Yeah.
like, I don't know. There's still a part of me that's like, especially if the spouse dies, it's like, well, your spouse died. You're just going to start dating someone else now.
Awful.
But I think just the thinking and the thought process behind whether or not someone wants to start dating again and find another partner, I think a lot of times, especially in the case of death, like it's really just determined on like where you are at in terms of moving on. I know like sometimes when people have like chronically ill or like deathly ill partners, the partner will be like, please move on from me.
Yeah.
But I just think it's in my little Arrowace head, who as a child you can only ever be in love with one person actually in your whole life, it still just feels a little funky to me. Like, I don't understand what compels people to be like, well, I have to start dating again, I have to do whatever. And like, objectively, I know it's because people value having that sort of partnership and like, you know, they like being in a relationship. But like, in my little Arrowace head, I'm like, why?
There are some situations where it completely makes sense to me and others where I am more questioning like you. I think you also have to remember that I feel like a decent amount of people probably don't choose to start dating again, but something just kind of like happens.
Yeah.
But
like that doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
I'll tell the story. Okay. My grandparents. My grandfather died a little over a year ago. And my grandma was talking to one of her friends, and one of her friends was trying to like set her up with some man.
Yeah.
And my grandma had like never expressed interest in dating again.
Yeah.
And my grandma was like, well, I actually don't really know what my grandma thought, but my mom, who was telling me this, was like, huh? And I think it's just so interesting that like, even if you aren't actively seeking to start dating again, like there are definitely people who feel like they should push you towards that. Like they feel like it's right for you. Like they decide that it is right for you. They decide that it has been a long enough mourning time and it's time to get over it, and that you should start seeing people now.
I want to be clear that I don't think that people do this maliciously or with any ill intent. Like, they genuinely think that that's what would be best for this person. And the fact that they assume that that's what is best for this person is the thing I have the problem with, which is a cultural thing. And I'm not blaming the person who told my... You get it. Okay, thanks.
As if, like, the only reason you wouldn't start seeing people again is because you're still in mourning, not because you just don't want to.
I think for me, the situations that like give me the ick the most about people starting to date again, like after a divorce or especially a death, is people that are like our grandparents' age.
Mm-hmm.
Because it very often to me feels like it's out of necessity, especially when a man has his wife die, especially the generation that our grandparents or like great-grandparents were in. It's usually because the man couldn't take care of himself and like doesn't legitimately know how to cook a meal or like do the dishes or like wash his clothes. And so it's like out of necessity. And for the woman, it might be like, I have no one to take care of and now I have nothing to do with my life.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen those situations in real life happen where it's like this poor man's wife just died and now suddenly he's like hanging out with these other women. And it's like, do you actually like, I understand wanting companionship, but it's like, it's weird.
That was literally the one thing I wrote down that I knew I wanted to mention in this podcast was that a lot of times people who are elderly, who are on Social Security, you know, 65 and older, 60 and older, in that generation, a lot of those men were never taught to take care of themselves.
Yeah.
And so my...
And the women were taught that your whole job is to take care of the husband and the kids. And now, if you had kids, they're probably not in your house anymore.
Yeah. And like my grandparents who were married to each other, who are both dead, my grandmother died before my grandfather did, but he could take care of himself. Like he was a real adult who could operate on his own without like my grandma cooking all of his meals. My other grandparents had a lot more of a traditional dynamic. Yeah. And so because my grandfather died first, like we never had to deal with what would have happened had it been the other way around. But if it had been the other way around, I think it would have been difficult.
Yeah.
Just because he respectfully...
Rest in peace, Bob.
Rest in peace, Bob. No, genuinely, but like he couldn't boil water.
Yeah.
And it's like he was good at a lot of things, but feeding himself without going to McDonald's was not one of them. And that was just such a generational difference.
It's Sarah from the future again. I just do feel the need to defend my grandpa a little bit in the sense that I do not believe that you can't teach old dogs new tricks. And who knows, had the situation been different, maybe he would have learned all of these skills and would have whatever. There's no way of knowing. But it was just the cultural, it was culturally normal for that to have been the dynamic. This is mostly just extra caveat for my own conscience and also my mom. Hi, Mom.
Yeah. Well, it's tough because at that age, it's like you don't like say like someone like that who like is mostly fine but can't like take care of themselves. It's like, what are your options? Okay, you move back in with your kids. Like that's, you probably don't want that. Your family probably doesn't want that.
That's assuming you have kids.
Assuming you have family. Like that might be a great option, but like also might not.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of elderly people like very much so want to keep their independence. Oh, so it's like moving into a home, even an assisted home, is usually like not what they want.
Yeah.
That generation, I feel like they don't live with friends.
Mm-mm.
I know even my grandma, so my grandma lives with my aunt, but sometimes we'll spend time living with my mom and my dad. But she doesn't like staying with my mom and my dad because she's like staying with a married couple feels weird to her for some reason. Like there's something...
She's like, I'm a constant third wheel, bestie.
I don't
but
know.
But I'm your mom.
But I'm your mom, yeah. But I don't think like I'm very interested to see what happens with our generation when we're all elderly. Is like, are we gonna be more okay just like living with the besties once we start dying off?
Yeah.
Because like I obviously everyone needs companionship, and especially as you get older, you need more help.
Yeah.
I think what's troubling is that people often revert to romantic relationships as like the default of where to get that because that's just what's ingrained.
Yeah.
Because that's like a very sturdy, strict societal standard. So it's like, okay, I need some kind of support. Where am I going to turn first? It's time to find a new romantic partner.
Mm-hmm.
When like, it might not even be romantic. You just need a companion, but we don't have the word. Like, really, it's probably a QPR.
They don't have
maybe,
the vocabulary.
But you don't have, It's like, did you actually fall in love with this woman you just met a couple weeks ago and are not moving in with?
Or, well, and like, then also, like, besties. The stereotype is like, you're old. You're probably not having sex with each other. Like,
no, but that's not true, though.
That's what I like
the people
to think.
In the people in the like nursing homes, the most STDs are in the nursing homes, Sarah. Those people be fucking.
Why would you
say
that?
That's a true fact.
Why would you say that to me?
I'm sorry, but it's actually a true fact.
In this vulnerable time.
I'm so sorry, Sarah, but it's a true fact that people in nursing homes are fucking a lot.
What if you're a nurse in a nursing home?
I don't think you're fucking. You're probably
no, but like you, but like, wait, what do you see?
Probably a lot. I would guess.
As I was going to say.
Yes.
Even if it's that this person has been unwilling to learn how to cook
domestic
or
skills.
Clean. Because there are some people who, like, physically can't.
Yes. That is a whole different thing that
we're
not talking about. Absolutely not talking about.
But, like,
that.
If you are just, you never learned that skill and are, you know, can't teach an old dog new tricks, there are genuine things that, as people age, they will need help with that are not shit like that. Like, it's, you know. But
no, I don't, Yeah.
But I think, like, for so many old men, it's like, I don't need a partner to take care of me because I'm a man and I don't need to be taken care of. But I do need a wife to cook me food and clean.
Yeah.
But I'm a man. I don't need, you know, it's like a weird.
To me, I think it just reinforces how important friendships are, because of the elderly people I know that have lost a spouse, the ones that struggle the most are the ones that, like, don't have consistent friends. And I'm not saying it doesn't get harder, because their friends start to die. And I've seen that happen too, which people is die. Incredibly sad.
It's what happens. Yeah.
It's what happens. It's incredibly sad. But, like, there's elderly people in my family who have, like, a weekly, like, they go to Big Boy with their fellas and they have a nice fucking breakfast. And it's like, that's so much easier to cope when you have that. And I feel like you would feel less of a need to seek out, like, a romantic companion. Yeah. And, like, it's hard because if you want to, I have no issue with that. It's when it's, like, it feels like a crutch or, like, a need of, like, well, I'm really lonely or, like, shit's really bad. I'm gonna, like, this is the only way I can think of to fix it.
Yeah. Well, and, like, my grandma, like, I'm very grateful because my grandma, like, has a lot of friends. Like, she has a really good support system. Fucking Ruth. She has a really good support system.
Bitch.
I like, outside of people who are related to her.
Yes.
And then she also has a support system in, like, my late grandfather's, like, his brothers, you know, like she.
Yeah.
And so, to me, makes it all the more wild that her one friend was like, I'm
okay,
try
here's
and
my
set
thoughts
you up with this guy. Because, like, she has such a good support system and she has never expressed an interest in dating.
Here is my thoughts on why that happened. To me, I feel like, because I think this happens, like, after divorce, like, late, like, earlier in life, too, is people are like, oh, my God, girl, like, you have to get back out there. Like, you can't just sit in your house all cooped up taking care of the kids, blah, blah, blah. To me, that is, like, someone trying to be helpful or, like, seeing that someone is struggling or, like, lonely. And so, again, their knee-jerk reaction of how to fix it is, like, oh, I know it'll fix it. You need to get back out there and date. Not, like, let's go make some new friends. Let's, like, get out of the house in other ways. Let's cope in other ways. Like, to me, it feels like people are struggling to help someone else cope or, like, learn how to, like, live this new life that they have. And so their immediate reaction is, like, well, this will definitely fix it.
Yeah.
Like, which I think just goes to show how strongly we think of romantic relationships as, like, the end-all be-all, incredibly important. It's like, oh, something's going wrong in your life. Well, like, part of the problem must be your love life. Like, oh, you're a single mom struggling? Like, I know it'll fix it. Date. Like,
yeah. Like, maybe you need someone to help you raise your family, but it doesn't have to be.
Oh, yes.
Which is a whole other thing.
I feel people just aren't thinking creatively enough, I feel like.
Yeah,
like,
and another thing that really stands out to me is I think especially with the generation that is old right now.
Yes, the boomers.
Is so many of them got married young.
Yeah.
And so they don't know what it is to be not in a partnership, in a relationship,
yeah, 100%.
In a marriage. Like, you know,
who are they outside of that?
Exactly. Like, my grandma was 22 when she got married. And so, and she was married for well over 50 years. And so, like, maybe her friend is like, well, you've always had Bob. Like, now you need to have someone else to lean on. And it's like, but if she's content.
Yeah.
And not that she's like, wow, I'm so glad my husband died, because she's fucking not.
But like, clearly she has a lot of people she's leaning on.
Right, exactly. And so I think the expectation that, like, it ought to be a romantic partner that, like, you have to just kind of replace the one that you lost or divorced or whatever is, and I think that's part of my issue with it too, is that I think especially if it happens very soon after, especially if it happens after the death of a spouse, it feels like you're just, like,
replacing them. And I think that's the thing that I like struggle with is like, you should be marrying someone because you love them and you want to be with them and you want to spend your life with them. And if that happens 1 year after your spouse died, okay. But like,
I mean, I don't know.
And I also get it, because when you're old, you're like, you don't want to like take your time, because you're like, I could die at any moment. Let's fucking get married. Like, and so like, it's, I'm kind of torn on it, but like, I also just like, to me, it can feel transactional. If people are like, you need to move on, you need to find another partner, you need to get married again. It just, it to me, a lot of times it feels so transactional. And of course, it's different if you're getting divorced.
Yeah.
There's a whole different calculus to it, but I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know that like the timing matters. Obviously, like a couple weeks or like a couple months is like a little bizarre.
It's like, did you kill your spouse?
But obviously, like, everyone copes and mourns in different ways.
Yeah.
To me, I think it's like the mindset of going in it. I feel like you can tell when people are going into it just to find someone else.
Yeah.
Rather than like a genuine, like, no, I like actually really love this person and want to be with them. I don't know.
It's
complicated.
Yeah, I feel like you see stories sometimes about younger couples when one of them has like cancer or something and they die, and the living partner goes on, ends up finding love with someone else, and like they're very open about how like they love their new partner in a different way.
Yeah.
And like their new partner is still like, you know, like they still mourn the partner who died, and the new partner is a part of that. Like I think that's a really healthy thing.
Here's an excellent example of this. In the television program, The Nanny.
Oh my God.
I'm being so serious right now. Spoilers, in the end, the nanny and the dad get together.
Well, yeah, finally. That's the whole fucking...
I know. But there's an episode where, like, the dad is like, oh, like, I'm in love with her, but he's, like, wishy-washy. And they have... It's such, like, cheesy 90s television, but they have, like, the ghost of his wife
come
and be like, it's okay. But it is actually incredibly, like, I don't know, it feels very that, where she's basically like, you know, we had our time. Like, I want you to be happy. Like, I really like her. And then there's a discussion later in the show where, like, the nanny is going to like adopt the kids, and the grandparents are like, this feels weird. And the kids are like, no, like Fran talks to us about our mom all the time. Like she watches old like home movies with us and like makes us feel better when we're sad. Like that's the kind of thing that like, I don't know. Anyway, that's been my feel about the nanny.
No, I think that's right. And I feel like you less often see, ow.
Good God.
I was bit. I feel like you more often see that rhetoric with younger couples, and in The Nanny, like they're not that old.
No, he's like, she's in her 30s and he's probably like in his 50s. I don't know,
40s or 50s.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting to me that like you see, I wonder if it's a generational thing, or if it,
I don't know,
or if it does absolutely happen in older generations, you just don't hear about it.
We just don't hear about it. You know what makes me displeased? You know what gives me the ick? And I'm sure, again, this is all so situational, I'm sure there's times where it's like very genuine and fine, but when I feel like I see this especially with older, like elderly people, is when the wife or the in this example, the wife dies, and then the husband marries the wife's like best friend,
or like the sister.
I haven't seen that.
That happened with Henry VIII.
Well, that was different.
His first wife
I know.
Was the wife of his late brother.
I'm aware. But I just, like, that to me is a little...
Yeah.
Much.
It's like, it feels like there is some ulterior motive. Like, even if you didn't kill your fucking spouse, it's like, well, have you been living a lie all this time?
I know.
Or is it like, or is it just for convenience because you both
loved this person who is now gone.
And I feel like the story, especially when this happens with younger people, is it's like, oh, we just like bonded so much through mourning. And it's like, that feels slightly odd to me. Like,
yeah, it does feel a little funky.
This mourning we're doing together really turns so me sexy. On. I don't know.
Should we fuck again, about it?
I'm sure it's fine in a lot of the situations, but it just feels
weird.
Odd.
Yeah, I think just like the only thing I really wanted to kind of discuss in this episode is just why. And why, specifically why people feel like they have to or that they should push it onto others to start dating after a divorce or a death of a spouse.
I think, there's a huge difference between wanting to and like knowing for the right reasons, like I want to get married again, I want a partner again for like these reasons. There's a huge difference between that and feeling the need to do that,
which being again, like this is the only way I know how to exist as a human, so I must do it,
right? Which is just like I get why that happens to people. I understand societally like why that happens. It just makes me sad, and like, I wish there was just more creativity in how to like solve that, and also like help from the government. people get no, like,
yeah,
there should be other options than like assisted living,
especially if you were married to this person for a really long time. I can understand that if they die or you have, you know, a very messy divorce, like you can feel very unmoored from like your life.
Yeah, of course,
life,
it's going to be an
and
incredibly
who you are as a person. And so, like, I agree that like I just wish there were like more established supports for people in that circumstance. And like I know that there are like support groups for like my spouse died, but like I don't know. I just, as with literally everything in our culture, there could be more infrastructure to support people and their platonic relationships. And, you know, if they want to pursue more romantic relationships, great. But, like, I don't know.
To me, it feels...
You shouldn't do it because you feel like that's the only way to be yourself. You should do it because you feel that that is the best you. And to me, those things are not the same.
To me, it feels like a very, like, don't hate the player, hate the game. Yeah. Because, like, I completely sympathize why someone, especially an elderly person that's been married for 50 years, would feel like that's their only option. Mm-hmm. Like, I get, like, society has failed them in, like, not showing them other options. And so I hope for future generations that this becomes, like, less and less of an issue and that there's more infrastructure and more just, like, being okay with like leaning on friends or like moving in with friends and stuff. But it's just,
well, and also if you're looking at this like back in the day when it was like, okay, divorce is becoming more normalized, but women can't get a credit card without their husband signing on, like
only in the 70s,
like what, like once you get divorced, especially if you're a woman, like if that happened to you in that time, you were kind of fucked.
100%.
And so I think a lot of people still have that mind, like that kind of helpless mindset, whether it's warranted or not. And I'm hoping that, you know, as the generations go by, our generation will hopefully be able to take a little bit more initiative in just being like, no, actually, I'm a fucking person.
Yeah.
And also, this is not like, I'm not trying to like burn old people. Like, that's the society they grew up in.
No, that's why I was saying, like, I don't really blame people for doing any of this. It's like, it's sad
coping
that
mechanism.
People feel like they have to do things when they don't want to.
Yeah. So, if you're old.
Hi.
Hi. I also just,
my
brain was just like, what if you're old and you cheat on your spouse? That's
don't
crazy.
Don't do that.
It's crazy.
Just don't do that.
But then, like, you know, we have like a family friend who their grandfather is like on his fourth wife, and you know, like when a grandchild got married, there was drama about the grandmother and the grandfather's current wife being there. And I think there was also another grandfather's ex-wife there because she was like really close with, like, so it's like of his four wives, three of them were at this wedding.
Honestly, though, like, what do you expect getting married so many times? Like, these are the things you have to think about.
And it was just always interesting when I was a kid hearing my friends talk about, like, their, like, they would always call their grandpa's wife by her first name.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, it was such an interesting dynamic to me. And I'm like, I can't, like, this man, what?
Yeah.
Or, like, that really old rich man, that really old rich man who got married for, like, the 500th time. And then they got divorced pretty soon like, after. Why?
Just, like, don't any. Just, you don't have to get married. I mean, it's okay.
His wife was, like, 30 years younger than him, but she was, like, 60-something.
I just, like, why?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't get it.
Me either.
I don't know if we got anywhere with this episode or broke any new or old ground at all.
Probably not.
But it's on the mind, and I'm curious to hear what people think. If you have people in your life who returns to the dating scene, you know, as a real proper mature adult,
over the hill.
Yeah, I'm curious about, you know, what your perspective on that is. Like, also, especially like if they're your parent or grandparent. Like, I'm really curious about how you interpret that.
Yeah.
Because that's obviously, you know, a difficult situation as well for the offspring if their parent has died. Sorry, the cat is just hitting me with his tail.
It's very funny.
Like, if your parent has died and your other parent's like, here's my new bitch. Like, I can understand how that could be really difficult as a child.
Yeah.
Not like as a youth, but as
The child.
The progeny of this person.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I'm just really curious about people's experiences with this. For any of our older listeners, especially, I'm also really curious about any older listeners who maybe discovered their aspecness later in life.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that maybe impacted their, you know, choices as, like, maybe they got divorced in part because of it. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm really curious about how that experience has been for people. And I don't think we have a huge crowd of seniors listening to this pod. But
there's some people in their, like, 50s, at least. I've seen several people in their 50s. I don't know about older than that. 50s
or senior. But
no, I was just saying, like,
Yeah.
For people in the older age range, I feel like I've seen a couple in their 50s. But
me too. But we don't have like a whole crowd of 90-year-olds.
No,
in our Discord.
My granny was wanted to listen to the podcast at some point. I don't know if she ever succeeded. My dad and my aunt tried to teach her how, but I don't know if that ever was successful.
Yeah. So. Also, like, if you're going to date as an old person, how do you go about doing that? You're not going to hop on Tinder. Like, you're not.
They have dating apps for the elderly.
They do, but, like, they're not going
to
go about.
How do they know how to use them,
though? They're not going to go about dating in the same way that young people are going
to
go about dating.
No, that's true. It's at the polka club, Sarah,
and
the bowling league.
And
the nursing home.
It's a lot more, as we kind of talked about a little bit last week, like, it's a lot more proximity based.
Someone just became a patron 12 minutes ago.
Oh, my God. Live? That's all. I think we should stop.
It's over. I'm warm, and I want to go to sleep.
All right. So our poll is, tell us about that.
Please. Tell us. Yeah, I can't wait to try to word that one.
Yep, tell us about that, please. We also have social media if you want to talk about that there or something. Social media at Sounds Fake Pod.
Go follow us on the gram. We've been so close to 10K for like so long. Why aren't you following?
I mean, we have not been super active recently.
No, we really haven't.
Which is probably why we've stagnated.
Probably.
But if you are cool, like the person who just became a patron 12 minutes ago and mm-hmm. want to support us that way, you can also do that at patreon.com/soundsfakepod. Our $5 patrons who we are promoting this week are Alex is Star, Alex is in Space, Amanda Kiker, Anna Garbaccio, and Ashley W. Our $10 patrons who are promoting something this week are Allison, who would like to promote Arden Gray by Ray Stuv, Arcanus, who would like to promote the Trevor Project, Ben McLeod, who would like to promote Benjamin Ibarra, the OG, who would like to promote Tabletop Games, and Boston Smith, who would like to promote their YouTube and TikTok at Your Buddy Boston. Our other $10 patrons are Selena Dobson, David Harris, Derek and Carissa, L. Bitter, My Aunt Jeannie, Math, Martin, Giselle, Parker, Purple Haze, Barefoot Backpacker, Ruby, Song of Storm. And that's it. Do you think old people, a lot of them also just stay in their relationships because they feel like they have to?
Yes.
Not even a good thought. Nope. In the middle of the patrons. we also have a new $10 patron, like real new.
The newest.
Super fresh. It's Ani. This includes their last name, but I don't know if they want me to say their last name. So I'm going to leave it out this time. But they became a $10 patron. So thank you. And let us know what you want us to promote. Our $15 patrons are not in that tab.
They also just ordered a tote bag.
Oh my god.
Not to put you on blast, but they would like to promote the discount code that you get being a patron.
Fuck yeah.
Merch.
You're a patron, you get discounted merch. I know you're all chomping at the bit.
I think if you're a high enough patron, you get some like free little stickers, I think. And a bucket hat.
Oh my god. Ani.
Sorry. Ani Slay.
Our $15 patrons are Ace, who would like to promote the writer Crystal Scherer. Ace told us that's just the name they go by and it has nothing to do with their sexuality. But incredible. I think it's all connected, baby.
It's the invisible string theory.
Yes. Tying you to me. It's me, Taylor Swift. Anyway.
Oh my god. How's Travis?
Sports ball. Our other $15 patrons are Andrew Hillam, who would like to promote the Invisible Spectrum podcast, Click for Caroline, who would like to promote Ace of Hearts, Dia Chappelle, who would like to promote twitch.tv/MelodyDio, Hector Murillo, who would like to promote Friends Are Supportive, Constructive, and Help You Grow as a Better Person, and respectfully, don't push you to date if you haven't expressed interest. Nathaniel White, who would like to promote NathanielJWhiteDesigns.com, and Kayla Zantanita, who would like to promote KateMaggotArt.com. Our $20 patron is Dragonfly, who would like to promote having a bestie when you're really old.
Hell yes.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next Sunday for more Busting Your Ears.
We didn't do beef or juice.
Wow. I even wrote it down.
You were just floating on by.
I was just moving. I think because we didn't have the what's our poll for this week. Like, I just that, was like, this is our poll. I think it really threw off my rhythm. What's your beef and your juice?
My beef is that you forgot.
This is a real test of like those who actually stick around until the very end. Only
that's
they will
true.
Know.
You have to wait for the beef and juice this time. My beef is it's hot again this week. It got so nice and cold it's hot in fall weather. Too. Now it's back up in the 80s. Yeah. If it's hot when I'm there, Sarah... I'm gonna be
it
pissed.
Might be. It may very well be.
I'm also sore. I did my first big exercise since traveling and then being sick.
Big
and
exercise.
It didn't go well.
Congrats!
That's okay.
You're doing your best.
I did my best.
Your body
and
thanks
I went,
you.
And that's all that matters.
Fuck. Sorry, Bogey just stopped. Yeah. I can't see you anymore. What happened?
I'm right here.
No, you're... I can hear you.
I'm but... right here. Follow my voice. I'm right here.
Bogey, we're so close to the end. My computer screen is just, it's just black.
Good.
There's nothing there. Okay, there you are. Hello. Okay.
My juice is all of my TV shows came back at once. Hell's Kitchen, Slay, we know someone that's on it. Respectfully, Kayla. He's really bad.
What? I've accidentally been doing an ab workout for 38 minutes.
Congrats. When I see your fitness rings close, I'm going to know it's a fucking fraud.
Hold on, I need to stop this. Cancel.
Wow, look at her cheating on her workout. Now it says she's been exercising for 4 minutes instead of just three.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, activity is Sarah.
Hold on, I need to delete it. I'm gonna be honest.
No, I wanna reply.
No, I need to delete
it. It's too late, I replied.
Oh no, Kayla said yeehaw.
What was I saying?
I have no fucking idea.
Yes, all my TV came back. Hell's Kitchen, most importantly, we know someone that's on it, and he is doing very badly, and I think is gonna be the first to go home.
Slay.
And the Great British Bake Off, and Glow Up, and The Golden Bachelor, and it's all just very exciting.
Wow. Okay. My beef is my teeth have been chipping.
Yeah. Tooth enamel warrior.
I was trying to whiten my teeth a little bit, and it wasn't really working, because I have corn cob teeth.
Yeah.
It's just what I was born with, and also I drink Cherry Coke every day. Mm-hmm. But I was trying, and then the past, like, week or two, I've gotten, like, several new chips in my teeth. Good. And I was like, I wonder if this is related to the little pen thing, if that's fucking with my enamel.
Probably.
So I'm just gonna stop using it. But also my dad was like, it's also just genetics. And my mom was like, yeah, my teeth chip a lot, sorry.
It's like, very thanks. Tooth genetics are very annoying. I was given such bad jaw genetics, and it's ruining everything.
My sister told me it's what I get for never having had braces.
See, that's how I feel. It's like I never had braces, but now I have like teeth grinding issues, and it's ruining my beautiful teeth.
Yeah. So in conclusion, I'm destined to have corn teeth for the rest of my life, and they might all chip off. And like the
let's get veneers together.
Okay. And like the chip that has chipped most recently was a chip in a chip.
Oh, good.
Both of which are new.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it still like catches on stuff sometimes. Yeah. And like I know that with time it will like even out. But like right now I really want to just take like a nail file.
Don't do
which
that.
Which I know is absolutely not a good idea. But like I really just
At least you've never had a chunk of your tooth fall out like me.
Slay. My juice is Miranda's gonna be here tomorrow.
Yes.
And my other juice is I'm getting my COVID booster this weekend, and
that's
exciting. I'm gonna get my flu shot if they will give it to me for free. If they last year I tried to get it and they said that'll be $50, please. I said,
no, I'd rather have the flu, thanks.
My entire ass.
I'd rather get the flu, thanks.
Well, last year I ended up getting it back home on my parents' insurance, but guess what? Yes. Guess what I'm about to get kicked off of.
We should do it now, quickly.
But no one here takes it. I would have to go home.
I see. I forgot my mama and my papa are visiting this weekend. That's my other choice.
Exciting. All right. Well, this is over.
Thank God.
Take good care of your fucking cows.
Get the fuck out.
You're gone again. What's happening?
I'm right here.
Okay, I'm stopping now.